You have a Bible, open up to a couple of places. I want you to turn first to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and just here as I live and breathe, I believe this morning when the kids were quoting this verse, Brother Dave and them picked out for Bible school for one of the ages. This verse is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God, and the Lord just spoke to my heart, you need to preach on that tonight. And I want to give you what God's given me in Romans 8:32. I believe this is probably the most underrated verse in the entire New Testament. There's no verse that I know of that gets preached less, that ought to be preached more than this verse. Now, when you read it, you're going to see where I see John 3:16 in everything. It's just, it's just the name of our family. It is the 16 family, whatever, the 3:16 family. And you be sure to meet them and pray for us that we'll stay straight, stay clean, stay right, and stay between the ditches on the right side of the center stripe. Amen. When we're driving tonight and down the road. But I see this and I look at this verse in it, this song tonight in the third verse, she's saying it as this. In the second verse, she's saying tonight, when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die to take away my sins, that he, on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died. Hey, you listen to that, the words of that, and wonder, man, those words are so beautifully written and powerful. Where do they come from? Well, look at this verse. It's right here. I think it's very underrated, and I think it just jumps off the page at you when you look at it. And I want God to speak to your heart like He did to my heart about it. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, look at that verse, look at it closely, and notice the words here. It says, He that spared not His own Son. What more, what greater gift could God give you than when He gave you His only begotten Son? It just rings John 3:16, amen? I mean, do you realize that when Jesus Christ died, when He was there in Gethsemane the night before, that suddenly he was praying a prayer, and he's praying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." He knows that the next day, if we didn't know it, and we figured it out late in the game, He knew that the very next day, he that knew no sin was going to have to become sin for us, who knew no sin, so we might be made the righteousness of God in Him who knew no righteousness, right? That's what He knew, that for the first time He was not only going to taste sin and feel sin and carry our sins on His back to the tree, but He says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He carried it on His back. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, so He had it on Him. Then he had sin in Him, and he bore our sins in His own body on the tree, but He actually went a step further and became sin. This is the one human being that ever lived that never sinned. For the rest of us, that wouldn't be that big of a deal. that wouldn't be an unusual day. But that was the most unusual day for someone that had never through all eternity ever felt what sin was, that hated sin, loved righteousness, and God's Son to become sin, and He's praying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, people argue about what the cup is. Some say, and I've heard this, that it's the cup of death. I don't think that it's the cup of death. Now, you may disagree, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. But I don't think that us in this room here, many of us now, have the victory because of what the Lord's done for us and what the Lord gave us. We're not afraid of death in the realm that we're afraid of. You know, He said He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage because of what He did on the cross for us. We're not afraid of death. When we used to be scared to death of death, don't tell me that Jesus Christ is fearing death there. Because there's been many a person that stared death right in the face and handled it with grace unbelievable from God. And he had that. I don't believe it's that. I believe it's far more. He became sin, and when he became sin, he had to drink of the wine of the wrath of God's indignation that's going to be given to lost people when they go to hell. And Jesus had to literally somehow on the cross suffer the equivalent of hell to pay my sin debt. Is that fair to understand? I don't know how to preach it and get it across right, so I'm careful here. It's very sacred ground. But if I understand the scripture right, he didn't just die for me. He suffered my hell for me. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die as well. And he faced the second death for us and tasted death for every man and became that. And here he is praying, and not one time did Jesus Christ ever get a prayer prayed. Show me one place in the scripture where Jesus ever prayed a prayer and God didn't answer his prayer. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Which of you convinceth me of sin? You couldn't find a sin on this guy. There was nothing he had in his background. He had hidden that away. He was perfection in the flesh. And every prayer that he ever prayed before that, he got answered. But here's a prayer, and it's winging its way to heaven there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when it gets there, the angels are probably up there in heaven looking over the battlements of heaven saying, bring him back, bring him back, bring him back. Look what they're doing. Look what they're planning to do to him tomorrow. And the crucifixion, bring him back. And you can hear them chanting in heaven. And the Father's looking at his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, who he loved so much, who was God manifested in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. It was about to be in a situation where the Trinity was going to be split up and the Father was going to turn his hat back on his Son, because Jesus would say on the cross the next day, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't even call him Father in that prayer. Every prayer that Jesus ever prayed, he always called him Father. As he should. He was his only begotten Son. But he didn't call him Father. He says on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a prayer of a lost man. He became sin, and he didn't even have the right anymore to call his Father, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father had a choice to make, as well as Jesus. And I think the Father sometimes, you know, we have Father's Day coming up in a week. I think fathers get belittled sometimes and put down when there ought to be some honor to whom honor is due. And God the Father deserves a lot of credit for our salvation. And here he is. Now listen, just listen close. Here he is, and it's Jesus is praying this prayer and saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In that little word, or that big word, nevertheless, stands all the love that any human being ever gave was wrapped up in that word. Thank God he said nevertheless, or the Father may have answered that prayer and taken him back. Okay, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So then the choice became the Father's. And suddenly there appeared a pair of balances up in heaven, if you may could imagine. And in those balances, the Father has to make a choice, and his choice is this. Here's all the sinners on the planet that ever lived in past, present, future, all the worst ones, all the good ones, if there is such a thing. People say, well, I haven't ever got, so-and-so got into deep sin, but I've never been into deep sin. Okay, so what you do is you get in shallow sin. Is that what you're saying? Okay, but they got into deep sin. We all are sinners, and we earn that title. And all the sinners of the world are over here, and his Son is over on this side of the balance. One person, his Son. Which one does he love the most? What did you say, Brother Reed? Which one is he going to love the most? Which one did he love the most on that day? The Father, God so loved the world, the scales tipped my direction on Calvary. The night before, as he was praying, the scales tipped my direction. And for some reason, he loved us. God so loved the world, that's me and you and all the rest of us sinners, that he gave his only begotten son. Now let's go to our counterpart. We preached a tad about him this morning. I don't like to talk about him, but he's real. The devil is real. The devil don't want you to pray. The devil knows the power in prayer. The devil knows that if you call on the Lord, he tries to get you not to do it, to delay it, and you ain't got to be a Satan worshiper and sacrifice a cat and burn candles and be on all that to miss the will of God and go to hell. Oh, no. Just miss it by one inch and don't get to the all and turn from you and you go to hell. Okay, so it's heaven or hell. Everything's on the line. There's so much on the line on this deal. And the devil doesn't want you to pray that first prayer that got through, that got you saved, that had an effect and an impact on God, that was God's will for you to pray, that got you saved. He never wanted you to pray that. And so he's upset because you did. And you're back tonight for more. And he knows the power in prayer and how powerful. Prayer's not powerful because we do it. Prayer is powerful because of whose hand it moves. Amen? Amen? Somebody said prayer changes things. I totally agree. But it really is prayer gets to God and God changes things. So here's the big trick of the devil now. He uses this before you're saved in many cases, and he uses it again. He punches this little card and tries this number on all of us. I don't know about you. I felt so guilty sometimes. Brother Dave, I'm just going to get honest and get real. Not going to preach long, but I'm just going to tell you my testimony. I felt so dirty sometimes. I'm not talking about before I saved. I'm now talking about after I saved. I'm talking about after I got called to preach. I felt like I had to reach up to touch bottom before. Amen? I felt like that I was the scum on the bottom of the scum bucket. Amen? I knew what God knew about me, I was a sorry sack of trash. You say, you shouldn't say that about yourself. Hey, don't rob me of my negative attitude about myself. Don't rob me of my low self-esteem. It took me a while to get where I needed to be, and I ain't intending to change anytime soon. But I felt like sometimes that, I mean, Jesus already saved me. He already saved me. He already saved me. And I don't deserve that. I know I don't deserve that. I ought to burn in hell. And he already saved me. So the devil's big trick, the next one is, oh, you don't even deserve to be saved, you sorry dog. And why are you even talking to him now? He's already done so much for you that you don't deserve. And that's true. But you know what the verse says? Oh, I love this verse. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Here's the truth about it. Yes, the devil's right in this sense. He may not, you know, they say he's a false accuser. Sometimes he's a true accuser. And he just puts guilt on you. And guilt is good, but then there can be an over-guilt. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have time to preach on this. There can be once something's under the blood, it's under the blood. And it's gone. And God don't see it, so you don't need to see it. You need to look at it like God does. And it's under the blood. You say, I don't deserve, I mess up more after I'm saved than I did before, Brother Reed. That ain't even possible. Well, join the club. Okay, listen to me. Maybe that's not true of you, but that's true of more than one of us in this room. And I'm just trying to get real. Hey, listen to me. Did you know D.L. Moody said when it's the hardest to pray is when it's most necessary to pray? You know when the devil will try to get you not to pray? Right after you've committed a bad sin, he'll try to get you, say, well, God ain't going to listen to your prayer because you're a sorry dog. You know better, and you do it, and then you did it again. And you did. But that's when it's most necessary to pray, and that's when you ought to haul off and pray. Prayer is your way out. I don't know how many times I've had it been in my Christian life. You know, the Bible says, a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. I don't know how many times the devil's won and around with me. I don't know how many times. But this ain't no 2-round, 3-round fight. This is a 15-rounder. Amen? And you go toe-to-toe, and you go bell-to-bell, and there's a little break sometimes in between rounds, sometimes. But you got to stay in that fight, and it's hard. You're getting tired. And I don't know how many times he's got on top of me and said, I got you now, Freddie Reed. Man, you sorry dog, you messed up now, and God ain't never going to forgive you for that. And I agree, and I feel that way, but I don't know how many times a prayer somehow came out and winged its way to heaven, and the Lord got me out of that mess and got me back on my feet. And you know, when you get knocked down, get up and brush yourself off. You might have a bloody nose, and brush yourself off and get up and go on and keep fighting. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. And he said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Here's the way you need to look at it. Here's the Bible way to look at it that God says here. That is, if I loved you, now this is what's hard for us independent Baptists to say too much about, because some people over out there, all they talk about is love. So we counteract and go over here and say, well, there's the fear of God and there's the wrath. Yes, there is. I preached on that this morning. There's two sides. You got to get that thing balanced. And there's way out of balance. You know, the old ship of Zion done turned into the love boat with a lot of people. Amen. That's all they talk about. But listen to this. Hey, God does love you. God does love you, by the way, and he proved it on Calvary. And if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, if he would answer your prayer and save you. Let me ask you this. Back when you got saved, was it because you were so good and you deserved it that day and you were really straightening up right then before you got saved? Or were you just pretty sorry when you got saved too? So he knew what he was getting, and he knew what he was giving, and he gave you the greatest gift you could ever have. You tell me anything you could ask God that would beat that. Not with God, his only begotten son, delivered him for us all. If he gave us that, name me anything else you could ask for that would top it. So the key is, if God, you prayed and got the greatest thing you ever got in your life, your salvation and your eternal security, that you're never going to go to hell, that you got a wonderful place in heaven waiting on you no matter what, then tell me this. Why shouldn't you go ahead and come back to God and ask him when you don't deserve again? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I mean, what is it that's so big that you're asking for that's really that big to God? I think he loves you. I think he loves my kids. I know I love them a little bit. They kind of grow on you after a while, like fungus or no. They grow on you the more you get around them. But with the little bit that love that I have for my kids, it's hard to explain and put in words. But how much more do you think God loves you? But you just let it get a hold of you like it did my wife up there a while ago. Hallelujah. Let God squeeze your heart a little bit. Just think about that. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You love your kids, and you'd about do anything if you had to, you could afford it. You'd give them about anything. If they told, okay, I want a green train for Christmas, Daddy, and it needs to be 260 feet long, and the track needs to be red, and it needs to go Christmas colors, huh? And Daddy, it needs to be Thomas. It's got to be the name of the first one. And you have all these. And Daddy, it needs to have these cars in it and all that. You know what you'd do if you was a dad like me? You'd try to break your neck to get your kid that train. If you had to stay up all night, hung all over the place, and it'd break your wallet. But you'd try your best. Hey, how about asking God for some things? How about asking, it says, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Is it going to cost you something? This is where we mess up. Well, you got to pray through. And there are times you need to pray through on things. I'm not trying to slight that. But he said, we got salvation free. And he said he'd give you, if you would just ask for things, God might answer your prayer. He might just haul off and answer your prayer if you called on him and asked him for it. I know about this church, and they were praying for a new building. They actually liked their building. It was a growing church up in Kentucky. This is a true story. And they filled that building up, but they liked it, and they wanted to kind of add to it, but they wanted to keep that building because all the memories that they had in it, people getting saved. We like this building, but we want to move it about a half a mile down the road where it's on the better thoroughfare where the people can, you know, y'all got a good little spot right here. It ain't bad where you're at, you know, just kind of located. The location is pretty key nowadays with people. But these people, they were kind of out in the country, and they just needed to move up a little ways. And so they got, saved their money up in the church, and you know, pinching pennies and getting a, pretty soon the building fund grew and grew. And they had enough money to more than move that building and get a piece of land. And they knew the prices and the acreage and how much per acre and all that. And they wanted about 7 or 8 acres, but they knew where. And they got to looking at the deeds and titles and where they want that piece of land right there. And they'd pray, on Saturday nights, and these ladies would pray in the ladies' prayer meeting, and the men would pray, and the church would pray, and the preacher would mention it again and again. And they prayed, and they asked God to give them that piece of land. And Lord, give us a good price for it, too. If you could, just, we don't want to waste money. We could give it to missions and do other things with it. But, we, you know, it's going to cost us. We understand that's fair. And, Lord, we save the money up. Now, would you give us this piece of land? And sometimes they'd even go down to that piece of land when nobody was looking, and they'd walk on that piece of land and pray over that piece of land and walk, you know, drive by and stop their car and pray for it. God, give us that piece of land. That's the one preacher wants, but that's the one we want. It got in their heart. And they got to praying about that thing, and finally they found out this man, this old codger owned this piece of land. He wasn't anything but an old cuss. He lived way back in behind that land in a little cottage, and he is filthy rich. He didn't need it. He's getting old, and his wife was gone, and he's just mean as a snake. And they found out the hard way. And they came up there, and they offered him a lot more than really what it was worth on the first offer. And so the men of the church went there with the preacher and said, listen, we're prepared to pay cash money. We want these 5 acres here. And he cussed them out. He gave them the best cussing, a good cussing. If there is such a good thing as a good cussing. He gave them one. Get off my property. I don't want to ever see you here. I would never sell. And would you sell it? He said, well, yeah, I'd sell it. Somebody gave me the right price. But if it's you, I need about 10 times more than what you're asking. Well, they didn't have it. They'd already kind of stretched themselves a little bit. They had that money in hand, and they pulled out of there and left. And they said, well, maybe we just need to get another piece of land. And God had laid that piece on their land on their heart, and you know what happened. Couldn't get it off their mind. And they kept praying, and some of them even started praying for that old man. God would work on that old man. Maybe he just needs to get saved and change his heart, and he'd just, you know, maybe give it to us. And people said, that man ain't going to do that. That's too much. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and they went back and talked to him again. This time he got a shotgun out and said, yeah, and started shooting, you know, at their feet, and the little dance they had to do or something to get off the property. He said, don't you ever come in here with lowballing that price. He said, now I've gone up on my price, and I want about, he named about 20 times more the price. So they gave up, but they didn't. And some of them little old ladies got together and prayed, and you know what happened. They wouldn't let go of God, and they wouldn't let go of that piece of land. And they prayed, and they said, okay, we're going to go next week. You men, you're going to go. Us ladies, we're praying. God's going to give us that piece of land lower than you ever think. God just have a piece in my heart. You ever heard a lady say that? They just feel it, and they know it. And then it doesn't make any common sense, but if God's with you, you better not laugh. And that Saturday night, they're praying, the church. The men got to pray, and pretty soon they started praying again like they used to. And they prayed till pretty late. And you know what happened? This happened. About 5:30 in the morning, a big storm came through. Bad storm. Tornado hit. Tornado hit about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Picked up the church and moved the church down a half a mile to where that piece of land was. Nah. Facing the road. Blew a few shingles off, but no major damage. It was still all intact, and it was facing the road. Well, they didn't know. I mean, as their lights went out, power went out all over that town. And that old man didn't know till he got up about 7 that morning. Trees were gone. His house was still good. He was still alive. He looked out in front of him, and lo and behold, them sorry people moved their church down here in the middle of the night. And he was so mad. He called the police, and the police came out. By 8 o'clock that morning, it was people all over town were driving up there. Cars parked all over, and church members were over there. Their eyes were big. You know, sometimes you pray, and you don't know, you know, if God really listened to me. He listened to a lot of us. And then you don't know, oh man, it's going to be a bad day. You know, we may not even have church today. I wouldn't want to be the preacher. And that old man come out there and the police, there was a confrontation, and here was the church people and here was the city people, and here was this old man with his gun, and the priest said, you just put that gun up. And he said, I ain't putting it up until they get their church off my property. He said, is it y'all? He said, there you are. And he came that gun. That police said, you put that gun up. And he said, he's going to have to move that thing. And the police said, he didn't move it. He didn't put it on your property. A tornado hit last night, early this morning, if you don't know. And it tore up some other places. But the tornado moved that down here. They couldn't have moved it in one night like that. That old man turned white as a ghost. And pretty soon he fell on his knees. He quit his cussing. He said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And they said, well, you need to pray. You need to get saved. He said, I've known that for a long time. He said, God's trying to speak to me. He said, are you telling me this church, y'all didn't move it? We didn't move it. Man, I was at the house all night. Preacher's like, his eyes this big. And these people said, we just prayed. God moved that church over here. He said, you know, there is a God. He said, my wife used to talk about him. He said, I'm ready to sell. Sell what? The church is already on the land. What are you going to sell it for? He said, I'm going to sell it for this. He said, I'm going to give it to you for free. He said, if you need somebody to help you mow the grass and all that, I'm in. He said, it's on my land now. I might as well start coming to church. And that guy came to church. They had church that morning and got in there. And a little leak or two, you know. They fixed that thing up. You say, that ain't possible. Hey, with God, anything's possible. If he'd do that, that's smaller than what he did when he gave you his son. That's a lot smaller. I heard about these two ladies that prayed, and we're going to have to finish, but I've got to do some driving tonight, amen? And y'all be glad, because I would be going long on Sunday nights is what I do. But we got to get out of here, amen? Get to the house. But these two ladies got to praying for their husband, and they didn't know each other. They went to the same church, and they prayed for their husband. And I don't know why these good women seem to marry such sorry men. Don't elbow your husband right now where I see it. But these good women seem to marry sorry men in a lot of churches we go to. And I'm not saying here. But they was praying. This lady prayed, and she come to church. She's saved. She loved God. She'd do everything she could. Her husband did nothing but try to stop her and make her life miserable at home because she did what was right. She come to the altar, and the preacher said, keep praying and praying. And you know what happened? She prayed, and nothing happened. It got worse. And one day, she came to the altar and found out there's another lady right beside her and heard her praying, and she's praying for her husband. They didn't hardly know each other. They got acquainted. Found out they were lived about a block apart from each other, went to the same church, and didn't even know the story. And this lady's husband was worse. Oh, no, he can't be worse than mine. Oh, yes, he is. You have no idea how bad my husband is. And they decided they would meet and pray. They were housewives and, you know, they don't, that's the busiest people in the world. And kept watching these kids and everything. And they pray and they'd meet at lunch, bring their kids with them, had the kids down there praying. And these two ladies would pray for their husbands to get saved. They did it for a year, almost every day for a year. And they quit for a month and they said, we need to pray again. The preacher said, pray for your husband. He's rotten, pray that God will change him and make him into a new creature. And we need to pray again. They start praying and they get discouraged. You get discouraged sometimes when you pray. You think God ain't listening to you? Hey, they prayed for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Quit praying. Pretty soon they started getting the burden for the other husband more than their own. And these two women, you want to get close to each other, you start praying together with somebody. You get you a prayer partner. And it'll be hard for you to listen to somebody say bad about them because you know they love God. If they pray and they talk to God, it's hard for you to... And these two ladies, they loved each other now. They knew each other and they were just like this. God knit their hearts together. And pretty soon they said, well, I'm not even going to pray for my husband when we pray. I'm just going to pray for yours. And the other lady said, you took the words right out of my mouth. When I pray, I'm going to pray for your husband. I don't deserve to see my husband saved, but I know you do. You're such a good, sweet lady. Great friend. And they prayed and nothing happened, got worse. They prayed and prayed and prayed. Several years went by and they about gave up a few times, but they kept praying. He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? What's that burden you got tonight that you just can't seem to get rid of? and you pray and it doesn't seem like God hears your prayer. It doesn't seem like He loves you on that deal. He loves you. Oh, He loves you just the same as He did the day you got saved. He loves you even more. One night, when those guys come home, about 1:30 in the morning, car pulled up, drunk, whatever, pitched to drunk, came in from a bar or something and come walking up the steps to her room, and she gets scared for good reason. Oh, no, here he comes again. She covered her head with a pillow and prayed, "Oh, Lord, help me now. Help me now. He's mad again. It's going to be a bad night." She'd been praying for him. He walked in the room. He started bawling. I can't get drunk. I try to get drunk and I can't get drunk. And he'd been trying every night and every day, and he's trying to fight off the conviction. He couldn't get it. Sober as the day is long. He'd been drinking, and he said, "I can't get drunk. I don't even want to get drunk, but I'm trying to get drunk to get this off of me." He said, "I need to get saved. Could you please?" She thought he was drunk when he said that. And "could you show me how to get saved? I don't think I could get saved." She got up, got her Bible out, and took it through the verses. And that woman led her husband to Christ. Her sorry husband got saved down there beside their bed, made an altar out of their bed, and got saved. And it was like 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and she checked him out, and he was just a smiling. Like he swallowed a banana sideways. He wouldn't sleep, and he didn't want to drink no more, and he was being sweet to her for a change in the middle of the night. And she's like, "Man, I ain't believing this. I got a new husband, and I got to go down and tell my friend that lives a block away." About 6 in the morning, they're supposed to pray at 12. She got there about 6. She's all dressed up, and she made her way down to the sidewalk and down the road there, and guess who she met halfway? Her friend was dressed, walking her direction. She's coming, and she said, "What are you doing up this time of the morning?" She said, "I got something I got to tell you. Not what I got to tell you. You ain't going to believe it." And they both had the same story. I don't know, probably them two guys were at the same bar trying to get drunk, couldn't get drunk. And they both got saved the same exact night after all them years. You know what the Lord did? It's like prayer is like an hourglass. And it's like a little piece of sand, and it's a little thing. And he doesn't feel like it's a little step of faith, and you don't even know. You're talking to somebody invisible you ain't even ever seen. And you know he's great, and you know he's wonderful, but you wonder if he loves you, and he does love you. And you ought to keep praying about that thing. And every time you pray, it's like another grain of sand falls, and nothing turns until the one that's bigger than time, that holds time in his hands, sees that last little prayer go down, asking for the same thing. He sees that last piece of sand or a little piece of salt fall. He just turns that thing over and it starts going another direction for you. It's like the tide's going out. All of a sudden it just turns and it starts coming back in for you. And you know what it is. It's those prayers that you prayed. How many of you have ever experienced that? How many of you ever experienced that where you prayed about something and you knew it was, but you didn't feel like it was getting through, but then all of a sudden God did it? You know what you need to do? That gives you encouragement to go and pray about other things. And I'll tell you one more and we're done. Two people praying about something seems to be better than one. This sounds silly and it's a silly way to end a sermon, but my wife's going to kill me when I say this. But you just have to live with us and have to be with our 4 kids for you to understand. We went on a marriage retreat about 4 months ago from South Arkansas, where we live, up to Missouri. We had a great weekend that weekend. A real good guy spoke and time together. And somebody, what was so good was it was quiet that week because somebody was babysitting our kids. Amen. It was like eerily quiet, but we really enjoyed it for a couple of days, and they don't know how much. And we're traveling up there, and I'm trying to be this romantic husband, you know, that I should have been the whole time. And I'm trying to act real good because I know I'm going to get hit by this preacher on some stuff that I should be doing more often than I do. And so on my way there, my wife says this, and she's going to kill me for this. I'm going to be in trouble for a while over this. She said, "You know, the kids ain't in the car, right?" And she said, I said, "Right, I noticed." And she said, I know we're out in the country, but they stop every 15 minutes. They need a potty break. I got to go." She's going to kill me on this one. I said, I'm going to try to find you one, just like if it was like one of our kids were about to die, I'm going to try to find you one, but we're a little ways from what I remember from any place where there's nothing out in the country in the sticks of Arkansas. You're in the sticks when you're in the sticks of Arkansas. We're driving along there, and it's going to be a real good day, and then this problem happens, and then I got the same problem too. I got to go. You don't ever have anything like that happen, but this was messing our day, our evening up. We're trying to get there on time, but we got to find a place. And my wife over there, and we said, well, let's pray. You know, it's the last thing you think of. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Good idea, honey. And she's praying. Oh, Lord, she just kind of needed to, you know. Lord, would you please? And lo and behold, she's going to kill me. Right in the middle of the country, there's a funeral home. I never seen a funeral home in the country. There's not a city there. It's not the edge of some town. It was another 15 minutes. I don't think the angel dropped that funeral home down there for us and answered our... You say, you believe that? Possibly, because I've never seen a funeral home like this one out in the middle of the country. There's no reason they would be out there. And I said, there it is. God just answered our prayer. And she goes, no, that's wrong. I said, no, God answered our prayer. We asked by faith, and God gave us a funeral home. She said, there's people in that funeral home. I said, they're dead. She said, the people in there. No, I mean the live people. They'll talk about this. You can't go into a funeral home. And I said, we have to. I've got to. It's me as much as you, but I love you, and I'm doing this for you. And I got pulled the car in. No, Freddie, don't do this. I'll wait. And I said, we can't either one of us wait. And I got out of the car, parked it, came around and opened the door like a gentleman's supposed to, and got down on my knees and proposed to her and said, would you please go with me? There's going to be a couple of bathrooms in here. There's like two cars here, and it's nobody's going to see. And she said, I got to go. Let's go. But I'm going to kill you when I get back to the car. And man, I was ruining our marriage conference. We went up there, we walked pretty fast, we found the restrooms, we got, and I came back out, and I was praying, you better keep praying when you get in trouble with your wife. Two prayers are better than one, but sometimes you get in trouble and praying, God answers that prayer. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble with Janie, and there's nobody else I can blame. The kids ain't here to point to. Lord, would you please, and on the way out, I saw it. There it was. Lord, please give me a way to get back on her good side. Some flowers? No, I didn't do that. A Dr. Pepper machine sitting right there, and it says $1.25, and I reach in my pocket, and I've got 5 quarters. I'm not going to want a drink of this. This is her deal. She loves Dr. Pepper. And it has to be in a can, and it has to be cold. Make her happy, really happy. To know that I really care. I got her one that's in a can, and it's cold, and 16-ounce deal. I got this thing down to a science. And there it is. Pop that thing in there. Push that button. Here it comes out. I walk out. She's looking at me, glaring at me. But a sense of relief had come over her and I both. And I said, I wanted to get this for you, and I thought we need to stop, and here it is. And man, we had the best marriage conference you could ever have. You know what God does? God answers big prayers if you pray. It ought to be just, but all of them are little to God compared to His Son. God answers little prayers, and it is so fun to watch. Man, I've gotten in so many jams and got out of jams because God heard my prayer. That's a crazy illustration, but y'all knew I was crazy this morning, so no sense in changing things up. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's a blessing to be saved and know God loves you. He sees little things. I think He's big enough to drop a funeral home in the middle of the country somewhere. And I think He's big enough to save your husband, lady. I think He's big enough to move a church when they need to move. Give them that piece of property they need. Give it to them for free. And do so much more. He's answered prayer this week, hadn't He? You pray for some of these that just got saved. The Lord will help them grow. Would He do it? Yes, that's what His desire is. You pray and God will speed that process up. Father, we thank You tonight for being so good to us. A God that we can call on. What You did when You gave us Your Son, but You said You would freely give us all things. Help us to take advantage of that. Call on You and claim this great promise.